with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives, from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Barbara Sullivan. From time to time on AbleQuest, we have explored initiatives that are helping prevent the types of disabilities brought on by certain age-related diseases. Today we look at research that aims to help curb chronic inflammation. For thousands of years, people from across the world have been using herbal medicines derived from plants grown in their region to treat pains and fevers. So it is not a new thing to equate healing with plant extracts. However, in our modern world abounding with pharmaceuticals available to treat all manner of illnesses and to relieve pain, it is interesting that a number of scientists are turning back to plants. In particular, they are researching readily available foods as a means of reducing pain and symptoms from inflammation. Inflammation is an important part of our immune response. It is the body's protective attempt to initiate the healing process. However, if it becomes prolonged, it can cause chronic damage such as arthritis. Low-grade inflammation is also believed to be a contributing factor in age-related diseases such as diabetes, Parkinson's and Alzheimer's diseases. It is this that the researchers are aiming to prevent and alleviate. One such research team is based at the University of Wollongong's Illawarra Health and Medical Research Institute, known as IMRI, working in collaboration with a team of international scientists. They tested a range of commonly available foods and found a number of quite diverse foods have potent anti-inflammatory properties. Further, they found that these properties did not alter with cooking, except for mushrooms. They need to be eaten raw to be useful in suppressing inflammation. To find out more about the findings of this initiative, Marnie Roper spoke with the research leader, Dr. Lizanne Uy.
Hello, Lizanne. Before we start on today's topic about plants with anti-inflammatory properties, can you just tell us briefly about the Institute and what you do there?
Yeah, sure. So I work at the University of Wollongong, and at the University of Wollongong, I'm situated within the Illawarra Health and Medical Research Institute, and I'm both a research group leader at the IMRI Institute and also a lecturer to biology students at the University of Wollongong.
Great, thank you. And I understand that there is increasing evidence that systemic low-grade inflammation is a contributing factor in age-related diseases. Mm-hmm. How does this contribute to such a wide-ranging diseases such as diabetes, Parkinson's, or even Alzheimer's?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think there's still quite a lot of debate about exactly what the precise causes are, but it seems like all of those diseases are related in some way. So if you have a higher level of fat in the body, you tend to have a higher level of inflammatory chemicals, so signals that promote inflammation in the body. And we know that high levels of these inflammatory molecules are associated with an increased chance of getting Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and diabetes and a few other disorders as well. So we do think that they are related.
And so therefore, is your recent research on plants based on this proposition?
Yeah, so we've done some research recently looking at inflammation and how we can protect our bodies using diet, so using certain food groups that can protect against inflammation. And we're starting to develop that, and so we've published that work now. We're starting to look at how those molecules might protect against diseases like Alzheimer's disease.
And I know that for thousands of years, people have been using plants for treatment of all sorts of pains and fevers. Has there been a lot of scientific studies of the effectiveness of plants?
Yes, I think that, so we've known for a long time that there are a lot of, for example, fruits and vegetables, as well as other natural products that can help us under certain medical conditions. But we're really just starting to understand the reasons for why that might be. And that's the basis for this type of research, because once we understand the mechanisms, how those molecules are working, then we hope that we can try and improve those mechanisms in the body and therefore try and protect against different diseases.
Yes, of course. And what plants did you look at, and how many?
So in our study that we did recently, we looked at 115 different fruits, vegetables and mushrooms and different food groups, and looked at them all in a screen to try and understand which of those foods would be the most protective against inflammation. And we also, as a follow-up to that study, looked at a number of different mushrooms and tried to understand which were the best of those.
And did you have a sort of set criteria for choosing those plants? I mean, 115 is quite a lot, but...
Yes, it was basically some very common food types that you can get down at the supermarket. So it was really a case of trying to look at things that people would be able to get at the supermarket. That was our major criteria for that.
Right. And what did you find out, and which plants have the most potent anti-inflammatory properties?
Yeah, so we found that mushrooms did have some very potent anti-inflammatory properties, so particularly oyster mushrooms and shiitakes. And as well as that, we also identified that foods like onions and other herbs like oregano and parsley, lime zest and cinnamon all had very anti-inflammatory properties. We also looked at English breakfast tea and cloves and red sweet potato. And all of those items had the most highest anti-inflammatory activity of the foods that we tested.
And does it have to be English breakfast tea?
That's a great question. So I can't say for sure that English breakfast tea is better than other teas. But surprisingly, it was better than green tea and coffee. Which was a bit of a surprise there.
Absolutely. Mm. And I've always understood that dark leafy greens had a similar effect. Did you look at them?
Yes, that's right. So we did find some anti-inflammatory properties from the green vegetables, but actually the most potent green vegetables that we looked at, you might think of as herbs. So oregano and parsley are two of our best anti-inflammatory food types. So we've started to follow up some of the molecules that we can actually find inside those food types. So specifically in parsley, we know that there is this one particular molecule called apigenin, and that does seem to have some very potent anti-inflammatory properties.
How much does one have to consume for it to have an effect? You know, an onion a day, or how many cups of tea?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question and something that a lot of people want to know. So what we can say is that there's been a lot of studies that try to understand the risks that people take in their life, or how people's lifestyles affect the chances of getting these different types of diseases. So what we can say confidently is that if you eat a diet rich in these types of foods, so rich in fruits and vegetables, rich in fish oil, for example, so eating lots of fish rather than eating a lot of saturated fats, then that will decrease your chances of getting things like Alzheimer's disease and these other diseases that we've talked about. So I think it's not just a case of thinking, oh, I must eat an onion a day. Rather, it's a case of promoting that kind of healthy lifestyle where you eat a range of these food products. And obviously, the benefits of that over time are going to be significant.
Absolutely. Does cooking have any effect on the anti-inflammatory activity of these foods?
Yeah, that's another great question, because we know that vitamins, for example, are destroyed by cooking, and vitamins are obviously the types of molecules that a lot of people have focused on in the past. So the molecules that we're looking at in, for example, the green leafy vegetables, they're not destroyed by cooking from our experiments. But we did find that cooking the mushrooms did reduce their anti-inflammatory properties.
Oh, that's an interesting finding, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we have to eat our mushrooms raw.
So that's what the results would suggest, yes.
Right. And how do these foods compare with other foods, as you mentioned before, with anti-inflammatory properties such as fish oil?
So they seem to have a similar potency to fish oil. Fish oil does contain very potent anti-inflammatory activity as well. So I think in combination with eating fish, eating these types of foods is going to be, you know, doubly beneficial.
Are you intending to do further studies in this area? And if so, will you collaborate with an international team as you did on this one?
We are continuing this work. So my lab mostly works on trying to understand how we can protect ourselves against diseases like Alzheimer's disease. So we have some cell models where we try to understand how these different components of the foods can protect neurons, so brain cells, against diseases like Alzheimer's. And that's the focus of the next lot of experiments.
And just finally, if our listeners would like to see a list of your foods, is there somewhere that they can find that?
There is. So the research is published. They could definitely email me if they wanted to more information on the topic.
Right.
So my email address is Lizanne, L-E-Z-A-N-N-E, uow.edu.au. So the information that I've talked about today is published in articles. There's a journal called Food Chemistry. One of the articles is published in there. But yes, you can also probably just from looking on the University of Wollongong website find links to the articles that I've mentioned.
Thank you very much, Lizanne. That is most interesting.
That was Dr. Lizanne Ooi of the University of Wollongong's Illawarra Health and Medical Research Institute. So, revisiting the list of food that the IMRI research has shown to have the highest anti-inflammatory properties, your shopping basket would look like this. From the herb counter, pick up oregano and parsley. From the vegetable and fruit section, select mushrooms, oyster and shiitake in particular, onions, red sweet potatoes, and limes for the zest. And then swing by the spices for cinnamon and cloves. And finally, don't forget your English breakfast tea. With the growing public interest in finding non-pharmaceutical remedies and natural ways of preventing disease, we need more research like this. If you wish to contact Dr. Ooi, her email address is lezanne@uow.edu.au. I'll spell that. Lezanne at uow.edu.au.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.